Welcome into the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Happy National Championship Monday. It is the Monday, April 5th, 2021 edition of the program. Tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor will go at it at 8:20 for the national title after Baylor, a winner over the weekend over Houston, and Gonzaga, that thrilling overtime win over UCLA. Sporting News' Ryan Fagan will be with me coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk that game, Baylor and Gonzaga tonight. We'll also talk about Major League Baseball, the Cardinals and the Reds with some fireworks over the weekend in Cincinnati. The Chris Ramey Show comes to you from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. YourEyeDoc.com is the website. You need to check out the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Their phone number is 314-966-5000. I need you to give them a call and tell them that you heard about them on the Chris Ramey Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I know a lot of people, especially when it's springtime and maybe you're dealing with some allergies, think about LASIK surgery. You don't want to deal with contact lenses anymore. You don't want to deal with your glasses anymore. You want to know more about LASIK, but you might not know the questions to ask. We hear so many different things, like you can't wear contacts for this long before LASIK, or you can't do this for this long after LASIK. Don't go by secondhand information anymore. Ask the questions to the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer are the best in the business. More doctors trust them with their eyes than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates? Again, 314-966-5000. I need you to call them and say that you heard about them on the Chris Ramey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Set up a consultation, set up an appointment to take care of your eyes. Their website is YourEyeDoc.com. They are the doctors. They are a proud sponsor of the Chris Ramey Show. They are Ophthalmology Associates, and you heard about them right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Scoops with Danny Mac. Send me a screenshot of your review, and you can tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. All right, a little more baseball tomorrow. The Cardinals kick off a series in Miami against the Marlins tonight after an interesting weekend in Cincinnati against the Reds. But we're talking some hoops and baseball right now with Ryan Fagan of Sporting News. You can read him at sportingnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan, a very busy man as he covers both college hoops and baseball. What's going on, man? What a weekend, as just about everything is back in what is usually, and this year, again, we have it back, one of the best times of the year in all of sports.
Yeah, I just love these couple of weeks at the end of March, beginning of April, because you have so much going on. You have exciting games that matter happening all the time in sports all over. You know, and then we got the Masters coming up. It's just, I feel like I say this is the best time of the year for a sports calendar, at least three or four times a year, but this is definitely one of those.
Let's start with the basketball. And man, what a game we had, Gonzaga and UCLA on Saturday night. From a performance standpoint, from the quality of basketball, getting things into the bubble, what have you noticed? Have you noticed any difference this year compared to the last couple of years? I know the NBA bubble, we saw, you know, an improvement, I think, in play because of less travel, because of some consistency in where the guys were playing. From that standpoint, what have you noticed about March Madness so far?
Well, I mean, we've seen some phenomenal games, just the execution. And, you know, you talked about that a little bit in the Gonzaga and UCLA game. It was just, it was beautiful basketball to watch, because you watched, you know, I mean, there's a difference between exciting games and well-played exciting games. You know, the UConn-Butler championship game a couple of years ago, I mean, it was exciting because it was somewhat close, but it wasn't the greatest game to watch. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing. And, you know, the game, UCLA, you know, played up basically a perfect game. They did everything, the Bruins did everything they had to do to have a chance to beat Gonzaga. And, you know, they darn near did. And, you know, Johnny Juzang was amazing. Every time Gonzaga, you know, made a couple plays, executed on offense, and looked like, you know, they were going to get that lead from 2 to 6 to 8 points real quick. You know, he'd come up with a little jumper or get to the hole. I mean, it really was incredible. I'm even now just thinking back to it, I'm getting chills because it was so exciting to watch, you know, and that's not even counting the way it ended, which is obviously incredible. But that game was played at such a high level, you know, and those are the types of things that you want to see in the biggest games of the year, in the Elite Eight and the Final Four and the championship game. And, you know, I think Gonzaga Baylor is going to be a great game too. You know, a couple of different contrasting styles. I don't know that you're going to see that game end with both teams in the 90s, but I think you will see a very tight, closely competed game.
Yeah. We're going to see the matchup that we should have seen earlier this year. Really, the one thing that we didn't get to see from Gonzaga this year was a game against Baylor. Yeah. So we'll get that
and they
now,
tried.
Tonight in the national championship. Yeah.
It's good. It's going to be,
what do you expect tonight, Ryan?
When you look at two programs, you know, I mean, what Scott Drew has done in Baylor really is kind of incredible. And, you know, I'm not sure, because it was so long ago, how the younger college basketball fans, how much they know about what the program was when he took over. I mean, the history with Dave Bliss and the scandal that happened there with the murder and the attempted cover up is really, it's the worst scandal in NCAA basketball history. And for Drew to take that over and build what he did, I remember going down there, I think it was 4 years after he took over, the first year that they were actually good. They were above 500. And I wrote a story for Sporting News magazine about them. You know, I talked to Scott for a while and a couple of the players. Lace Darius Dunn was one of the first big recruits they ever got there. And to think about what it was then and what the program has become really is incredible. And, you know, if we're talking about programs and being built, you know, what Mark Few has done at Gonzaga is truly incredible. You know, he took over for Don Monson, who had that first Gonzaga team that made the Cinderella run. But, you know, they didn't skip a beat. You know, he left for Minnesota. Mark Few was promoted to take over as the head coach. And, you know, they've become a brand, which that's not easy to do. It's easy to have a good team or two to become a player for a little while. But Gonzaga has become a brand. I mean, they're recruiting five-star recruits now. They're doing all these things. They're sending guys to the NBA. And it really – you know, it's almost that we take it for granted a little bit because they've been good for a while, but what he's done there really truly is incredible.
Yeah. We've talked about Mark Few before, Ryan, and like, why couldn't Gonzaga become Duke or become North Carolina in terms of basketball? And maybe that's somewhere that Mark Few will never leave. I wonder about Scott Drew though, especially, you know, with Roy Williams stepping down. I'm sure that Drew gets plenty of interest from plenty of jobs each and every year. Or does he rank for you in terms of coaches? Are these two of the maybe five best coaches in the country tonight?
They're way up there. You know, I mean, there's been a knock against Scott Drew for a long time that they said that, you know, he was a recruiter who couldn't coach, but I feel like we're past that. That was never true, but I feel like we're past that as a national conversation. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was connected to the Indiana job. He obviously has roots in the state with, you know, his dad, Homer Drew, being the coach at Valpo for such a long time. And, you know, he was there for a while. That seemed to make more sense than North Carolina necessarily, even though his name has been connected there. But, you know, I think if we're talking about Mark Few and the potential of him leaving, I mean, there are only two or three jobs in the country that,
right,
you know, would seemingly even interest in him. And, you know, North Carolina is one of them. You know, I know a lot of the Tar Heels alumni and former players, they talk about wanting to, you know, keep that job in the family. And there are a lot of great candidates if that's what they want to do. If they want to bring a North Carolina guy in to replace, you know, Roy Williams or Kobe Hubert Davis, who's been on staff there for a long time, Wes Miller, who's at UNC Greensboro. You know, I know Jerry Stackhouse just got to Vanderbilt, but, you know, obviously he's got a big connection there. And, you know, that's not a job that you imagine is going to open very carefully. But you also have to, you know, the last time they, you know, Dean Smith retired and they are, well, I guess when his replacement retired and Matt Daugherty took over, that as he was a Carolina guy, that didn't go so well too. So, you know, you have to think that if at least if North Carolina was going to call Mark Few, he would pick up the phone. Whereas most jobs, he would say, you know what, I'm good. Thanks. We're not even going to have a conversation.
You know, Mick Cronin, an example of what a guy can do when you are a great coach who isn't maybe the sexiest hire, but jumps in at a school where it's easier to recruit. And I think that's certainly fair to say. You say Cincinnati compared to UCLA, and you know, now we've seen what Cronin has done, albeit in just two seasons, but you know, the caliber of player that you can get and you can recruit to UCLA with his coaching, you know, you would imagine that program's going to continue on the trajectory that they've been the last couple of years under him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a guy that does, you know, traditionally get a lot out of his players. And the thing about recruiting at a school like UCLA is it's not just that you can get the interest of the five-star guys, right? It's the guys who are sixth, seventh, eighth in the rotation that you can get a better quality player at that level. You know, so the first guy bench, you know, is better than necessarily the first guy who was coming off his bench at Cincinnati. And there were a lot of skeptics when Cronin was hired. A lot of people said, why are we going after this guy? You know, if we're UCLA, we should not be settling for a Mick Cronin. Obviously, the people in basketball knew what Mick Cronin was. They knew he would be a success there. Didn't necessarily know that he would lead his team to the Final Four and on the brink of a national championship game in his second year. But, you know, now that he's had that success and all those questions have been answered, you know, you really do feel like he's going to make UCLA into that that team that perennially is going to be in the Final Four conversation.
Hey, at least, you know, you're not in the East Coast anymore. You're in St. Louis. So the game starts for you at 8:20 Central tonight instead of 9:20 exactly. Eastern.
Yeah, that is one nice thing about being back in the Central time zone.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I think from a coverage standpoint that people can really gripe about. And, you know, they've done so much on the run or on the fly this year. They've done things differently this year. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's gone pretty smoothly.
Yeah, you know, I think we had, you know, they had the hiccup with the VCU having to I shouldn't even call it a hiccup. I mean, these kids at VCU had their dream dashed. You know, they worked so hard to get to the NCAA tournament and then don't even get a play because of contract tracing and contact tracing and all of those things. And that really was disappointing. For the most part, though, the tournament has gone off pretty well. You know, I think if you'd ask NCAA, even though it's kind of heartless because, again, it crushed the dreams of VCU, if you say, you know, if you just had one team eliminated and you didn't have any major problems as the tournament went along, I think the NCAA would probably take that.
All right, it's time for you to do something for yourself. It's time for you to do something for your eyesight. Take care of your eyes. They deserve the best, and that's why you deserve the doctor's doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Ophthalmology Associates, Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Bersani, and Dr. Andrew Royer are called the doctor's doctors because more doctors trust them than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust the best when it comes to your eyes? Their website is youreyedoc.com. That's where you can get more information, and I need you to tell them when you give them a call at 314-966-5000 that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show at Scoops with Danny Mac. Call them and set up an appointment to get your eyes checked out. You don't want to deal with any issues. Your eyesight could be saved if you get in and have regularly scheduled appointments or if you have questions about LASIK. Trust the best. Trust the doctors. Doctors and Ophthalmology Associates and tell them that Chris Raby sent you. Tell them you heard about them on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Again, the phone number is 314-966-5000, 314-966-5000, or go to the website at youreyedoc.com. Ophthalmology Associates, the doctors, doctors, proud sponsors of the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Ryan Fagan with us, SportingNews.com is where you can read him. SportingNews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. How about baseball, Ryan? And
yeah,
we get things underway over the weekend and the Cardinals, plenty of sparks, maybe not yesterday or maybe not the last couple of days from the Cardinals bats, but plenty of sparks in Cincinnati against the Reds over the weekend.
It feels like every time those two teams get together, something happens one way or the other. There's some sort of intrigue going on. It's, you know, and there was no lack of intrigue in that series. You know, you had teams scoring double digit runs. You had, you know, pitchers going out and getting lit up. You had some pitchers going out there and pitching better than expected. Then obviously the whole dust up with Castellanos at home plate and, you know, Molina coming into the aid of his rookie pitcher. You know, that was interesting. And I'm sure that will lead to intrigue as this goes on between those two teams over the season.
I'm not sure, Ryan, you know, when we will stop or when the two roads will merge, because I still roll my eyes a little bit, and I know people do, about some of the fallout from, you know, Castellanos, for instance, hitting a home run and staring at it or pimping it. Like, I guess this will always be a part of the game. And I guess that, you know, it's something that isn't going to go away, but I don't know, man. I get frustrated when teams in the Cardinals and Mike Schilt seem to take such personal offense to something like that happening.
I do get that. I think there's two ways to look at it. You know, one of them is that's, you know, that's been happening for a long, long time. It's not like it's the new generation of players, the only ones that have ever stared at a home run or dropped the bat or done something to celebrate an accomplishment like that. But the other way to look at it is, I think that, you know, and you know this, as you talk to athletes and you talk to them away from the game, away from the stadium, and you hear about, you know, the ways they try to motivate themselves, right? There's always that game of, how can I try to gain this little edge? And sometimes you have to put yourself in a different type of mind, of mentality. And if you can use something like what Castellanos said, even though it wasn't a big deal, you know, looking at that home run, and you feel like you can say, okay, I'm going to use that, I'm going to perceive that as a slight, even though he didn't do anything wrong, and that's going to make me better going forward. Or if you're Schilt and you're the manager and you think, okay, well, I think my players will respond to this if I make it a big deal. Sometimes that's why we get the reactions we do. I mean, do they really care? Do they really care that he looked at the home run a little bit longer? Probably not, because the players on the Cardinals will do the same thing. But if they feel like they can use that as a little motivation that might make them play better, then they're going to do it, even if they know it's A, not really that big of a deal, and B, going to be poorly received by the public who sees them as the Cardinals doing Cardinal things.
You wrote about Shohei Ohtani at sportingnews.com last night. He was unbelievable. Bit of a scary moment as he went to cover home plate. Jose Abreu slide in to score a tying run in that game and slid into Ohtani's ankle. He said after the game that he felt fine. But holy cow, pretty amazing to see him as kind of the two-way player that we had talked about for the last couple of years. He absolutely crushed a ball off Dylan Cease at the velocity of 115 miles an hour. He hit 100 plus miles per hour, more than half dozen times. So
yeah,
pretty incredible. That, yeah. And give folks an idea, Ryan, of why this guy in your eyes is so exciting. And I think it encapsulates kind of where baseball is right now, the kind of exciting players, the kind of superstar talent that's in the league right now.
Yeah. I mean, what he can do really is incredible. And we've heard about him for a long time. He just hasn't stayed healthy. And when he has been healthy for shorter stretches, he hasn't done, you know, he hasn't had the consistency, I think, that some people expect. But I mean, this is a guy who was an absolute superstar in Japan. And he came over to MLB because he wanted to prove himself at that next level, because he felt like he'd done what he needed to do in Japan. And he really is. I mean, we're talking about a guy, as you said, I mean, he's popped 101 miles an hour on the radar gun with regularity in that game, in that nationally televised game on ESPN, the Sunday night game of the week. And then goes and pitch he sees in the first inning, hits a home run that, I mean, you talk about that home run and the way the ball jumped off the bat, the sound the ball made as it came off the bat really was incredible. I mean, any player that can do either of those things is amazing. And a guy you can't take your eyes off of, a guy who does it in the same inning is really something we've never, ever seen. You know, and when I wrote that thing, I just wrote it real quick, because actually our system was about to go down for maintenance. So I only had time to put out about 200 words and to put a couple of videos in. At the very end of it, the last line I put, and this was written, mind you, in the second inning, was, here's hoping Ohtani stays healthy for the entire year. And I almost felt like I kind of jinxed him, because then, you know, at the end of the fifth inning, as you said, there was the play at the plate, you know, but, and by the way, nothing even remotely dirty on Abreu's part. It was a bad throw that led Ohtani to jump for the ball, and that's how he came down, and Abreu just slid into the plate as he should have. But, you know, I mean, we're seeing a guy that, if he stays healthy, can be just a game changer. And it's not like he's going to inspire other people to do the same thing that he does, because nobody can do the same things that he does. But he's the kind of guy that really can truly just take a sport and a country by storm if he stays healthy and does the things that he does that he did in the first five innings last night.
You know, part of it too is going to be how the Angels and Joe Maddon handle him, and they're going to be aggressive in their handling of him, and they're going to ask for a lot out of him. So you're right. As a baseball fan, here, selfishly hoping he stays healthy, but hoping that all these young guys stay healthy, because there's such an influx of talent and excitement in the league right now.
Yeah, it really is crazy, because you know, you have Ohtani, you know, he's in his mid to late 20s, but then you got some of these young guys. I mean, Juan Soto and Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah,
Ohtani's like an old man compared to some of them.
I know, it's crazy, but it's these guys that are coming up and just doing incredible things at young ages. You know, I mean, Tatis got that long extension, you know, which he deserved, but he's yet to play a full season. I mean, he's already a superstar, and he's yet to play more than 100 games in a year. And so, you know, the best is in front of these guys, and that's what's so exciting, is they're already great, and they're going to be even better. And, you know, if you're looking for a reason to get into baseball and to watch some exciting players, there's certainly a lot of those guys out there right now.
Ryan Fagan, read him at sportingnews.com. Follow on Twitter at Ryan Fagan. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the hoops tonight. We'll continue to talk as baseball rolls along. Thanks so much, brother.
Always enjoy it, Chris.
All right, huge thanks to Ryan Fagan. We'll talk more Cardinals baseball over the next couple of days. Cardinals beat writer Zach Silver going to be with us tomorrow. The Cardinals kick off their series in Miami tonight against the Marlins. And, of course, at 8:20 tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor. This has been the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. Visit the doctors at youreyedoc.com. Tell them that Chris Raby sent you. You heard about them on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Until tomorrow, Chris Raby saying, this has been the Chris Raby Show. Be nice to each other. As always, peace. We'll turn the speakers up to their break. Cause every time you smile, it's a fake. Stop pretending you got everything I needed. I want it. I can't live without it. I can't live without it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.